RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed nuclear power a last resort. KPK to resume probe into bank center case. Police call for no rallies during Asian African conference. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla insists that nuclear energy is a last resort for Indonesia, saying the country has alternative option more in line with the country's geologic and sociological condition for addressing the looming energy crisis. This was affirmed in a seminar on energy diversification in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said that nuclear is suitable only in Java, and this is the last resort. The sophisticated technology deployed by Japan in building its nuclear energy was not even foolproof, as its plants also leak, he said, in a friend reference to Fukushima nuclear meltdown in 2011. He says such risks are very high for Indonesia, which would not be able to handle it extra cautiously. The vice president acknowledged that Indonesia had potential in development of nuclear energy, but that the world was divided over the use of nuclear energy. Several countries have discontinued nuclear programs, while others are accelerating the construction of the plants. He said that Java Belitung was suitable site for the installation of nuclear power plant, but the connecting through undersea cables to Java would be costly. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK said on Tuesday that it would soon hold a case, reconstruction of Bank Century case, to determine the fate of former Vice President Budiono and other former Bank Indonesian directors in the controversial Bank Century bailout in 2008. Acting KPK Commissioner Johan Budi said on Tuesday that the case reconstruction would be conducted to follow up on the Supreme Court rejection of an appeal filed by former BI Deputy Governor Budi Mulya, who was sentenced in connection to the case to 10 years by Jakarta Corruption Court in July 2014. The Supreme Court increased Budi's sentence to 15 years after Jakarta High Court had increased it to 12 years. Jakarta Corruption Court, in its verdict on Budi, confirmed the roles of other individuals deemed to be responsible for the controversial bailout, including Budiono, who served as the Bank Indonesian governor when the bailout decision was made. Former Bank Indonesian Senior Deputy Governor Miranda Gultom and then Bank Indonesian Deputy Governors Siti Patrija, Budi Rohadi, Mulyaman Hadad, Hartadi Sarwono, and Ardayadi Mitro Atmojo. West Java police have urged the public to participate in scoring a series of events during the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference in Bandung, West Java, and refrain from staging rallies, especially around the peak of the event on April 24, 2015. Provincial Police Chief Inspector General and Iriawan in Bandung on Tuesday urged every police force chief in the region to make sure the territories were free from demonstration, especially by the Falun Dafa, also known as the Falun Gong community in Indonesia, a day prior to end and a day after the event. He added that the police would disperse rallies carried out from April 23rd to 25th aggressively if necessary. Community groups should remain steadfast in expressing their aspirations. Riawan said to the personnel, representative from the Chinese government has requested that there should be no action from the Falun Gong. Riawan has also assigned officers from territories around Bandung to anticipate the possibility of rallies being held during the conference anniversary. Indonesian military TNI will create an anti-terror task force comprising of special personnel from the Navy, Army and Air Force that will support the national police in dealing with terrorism. The new force will tackle critical security issues such as terrorism and offshore as well as border threats. TNI Chief General Muldoko said as quoted by Jakarta Post, the concept has been preferred. It will be a force that is ready to deploy at any time. According to General Muldoko, the group will be formed just like the Quick Reaction Striking Force, or PPCR, which conducted exercise in Poso Central, Sulawesi several weeks ago. He added, TNI will deploy the new force depending on the situation. The new force will work together with the police during the operation to prevent overlapping duties with the Police Anti-Terror Force, Densus 88. General Muldoko revealed that one of the sheriff's threats to Indonesia was the proliferation of Islamic State movement in Indonesia. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia and Norway agreed to continue cooperation in reducing forest-based gas emissions on Tuesday in spite of Jakarta Airlines' decision to disband an agency thanks with overseeing the implementation of program. The commitment was made during a bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg in Jakarta on Tuesday. Prime Minister Solberg is in Jakarta for a state visit from Tuesday until Thursday, her first official visit to the country during Joko Widodo's presidency. President Joko Widodo said during a press conference after the bilateral meeting with Prime Minister Solberg, the two countries have agreed to continue cooperation regarding the RED plans on reducing forest-based gas emission, which began in 2010. The president dissolved the National Reducing Emission from Deforestation and Forest Degradation Agency, BP RED plans, merging it with the Environment Forestry Ministry early this year. The decision raised questions about the future of the country's fight against global warming, with Indonesia committed to cutting greenhouse gases by 41% by 2020. As the government is about to upgrade its poverty alleviation programs, the Social Affairs Ministry will soon commence an ambitious data validation and verification project. The project involving as many as 69,000 social workers aim to clean out any irregularities in the current integrated poverty database, which is managed by the National Team for the Acceleration of Poverty Reduction, TNP2K, based on 2011 data from the Central Statistics Agency, BPS. So Social Affairs Minister Kopipa Indar Parawansa said on Tuesday, there is a process of verification and validation that our site has to do before the distribution process of social aid can be done maximally. According to Minister Kopipa, at the moment, the government is focusing on distributing 3 cards to help low-income people, the Prosperous Family Card, KKS, the Indonesian Health Card Keys, and the Indonesian Smart Card Gift, with the target of all people deemed eligible for the social assistance being in possession of all 3 cards by June 2015. A total of 16 Indonesian Pancasila athletes departed from Perak, Malaysia on Tuesday to participate in the Perak Open Pancasila Championship in preparation of this SEA Games scheduled to take place in Singapore in June. Tamsil Rinsal of the Indonesian Pancasila Association, IPSI, stated the Indonesian continent sent to compete in the Perak Open were the best, but their participation was meant to measure the strength of their rivals in the SEA Games. Before participation in the Perak Open, Indonesia also sent several athletes to take part in the Singapore Open Pancasila Championship on April 2 until 6, 2015. They failed to grab any gold medals. In January 2015, Indonesia emerged as the winner in the World Pancasila Championship in Thailand by grabbing 9 gold medals. He pointed out the athletes sent by Jakarta to the World Championship were also those participating in the National Pancasila Training Program. The last item. Indonesian government expressed deep condolence to the family of Siti Zainab Binti Duhri Rupa, an Indonesian citizen from Bangkalan Madura, is Japa, who has been sentenced to death in the city of Medida on Tuesday, April 14, 2015, at around 10 o'clock local time. Indonesian government also delivered a letter of protest to the governor of Saudi Arabia that had executed Siti Zainab binti Duhri Rupa without prior notification to the government of Indonesia and the families of the deceased. This was said by spokesperson of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Nasir Kristiawan, to RRI Full Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday night.
Salah satu warga negara kita, Siti Zainab, dihukum mati di Arab Saudi.
An Indonesian citizen, Siti Zainab, was executed in Saudi Arabia at 10 local time in Medina on April 14. The government of Indonesia expressed deep condolences to the entire family and pray that the deceased gets the best place besides Allah. In this case, the Indonesian government protested to the government of Saudi Arabia that both the Indonesian government and her family were not notified on the execution's time.
Furthermore, Armanata Nasir explained that the various legal steps had been carried out by the Indonesian government to prevent Siti Zainab binti Duhri Rupa from being executed. The government had appointed lawyer Qudran Al-Sahrani to provide legal assistance to Siti Zainab in every trial. Diplomatic efforts had been done with official letters to the King of Saudi Arabia by three presidents, namely Abdurrahman Wahid in 2000, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono in 2011, and Joko Widodo in 2015, which contained a request that the King of Saudi Arabia could provide clemency for Siti Zainab binti Duhri Rupa. In fact, according to Nasir Armanata, Indonesian government had also offered diat or blood money through clemency Institute of Medina around it 600,000 riyal or about 2 billion rupiah. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Hillary's Chance to Become the U.S. President. Listener, former U.S. First Lady and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announced her plan to run for the U.S. presidential election. Hillary Clinton of Democrat Party said she would be the first woman to win the presidential election in the country. Hillary's candidacy ended long speculation about her planned nomination as president. Earlier, Hillary Clinton has repeatedly denied about her plan to compete in presidential race. As the initial step, Hillary will fly from her home in New York to the state of Iowa to interact with the local community. Iowa is the first state that will hold primary election or caucus of Democrat Party in January 2016. After that, Hillary will continue her tour to New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Florida, the states that will hold primary elections after Iowa. This candidacy will be the second for Hillary Clinton. Earlier in 2008, Hillary's ambition to be the number one person in the U.S. was beaten by Barack Obama, a young senator of Illinois. Obama then won the presidential nomination of the Democrat Party and served as president. Then, how is Clinton's chance for the presidential election 2016? In contrast to 7 years ago, Hillary, who is currently 68 years old, is predicted to face tough competitor Obama to win the presidential nomination in the Democrat Party. The average result of surveys has put Hillary Clinton about 40 to 50 points ahead of her prospective competitors in the Democrat Party, such as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, former Virginia Senator Jim Webb, and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Two politicians who could potentially beat Hillary are Vice President Joe Biden and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, still choose not to run for the presidential race. The survey has also put Hillary consistently 5 to 10 points above other competitors of Republican Party, such as former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, as well as author and brain surgeon Dr. Ben Carson. Will Hillary Clinton's road to the White House run smoothly? Probably not. The woman who was a New York senator cannot be separated from a number of controversies that potentially overshadow her presidential campaign. Scandal of using personal email when serving as Secretary of State last month has the potential to become a weapon to attack her. It also includes Benghazi attack that killed 4 U.S. citizens, including U.S. Ambassador to Libya Christopher Stevens in 2012. As Secretary of State, Hillary is considered responsible for the attack. A few hours before Clinton announced her candidacy in the U.S. presidential election, last Sunday, April the 12th, a number of street artworks that shows campaigns of anti-Hillary Clinton were seen along the street in Brooklyn, USA. Some Clinton's photos wrote "Don't say secretive," "Don't say entitled," and "Don't say ambitious," insinuated Hillary Clinton's attitudes. It is still a long way to go. To become a president, Clinton must first beat competitors from the Democrat Party, then face the Republican opponents, and next is up to the U.S. voters. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from historical events, the Titanic cruise sinking on April 15, 1912. RMS Titanic was a British passenger liner that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean in the early morning of April 15, 1912, after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton, the United Kingdom, to New York City, the United States. The sinking resulted in the loss of more than 1,500 passengers and crew, making it one of the deadliest commercial peacetime maritime disasters in modern history. The RMS Titanic, the largest ship afloat at the time it entered service, was the second of three Olympic-class ocean liners operated by the White Star Line and was built by the Holland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast with Thomas Andrews as her naval architect. Andrews was among those lost in the sinking. On her maiden voyage, the ship carried 2,224 passengers and crew. Under the command of Edward Smith, the ship's passengers included some of the wealthiest people in the world, as well as hundreds of emigrants from Great Britain and Ireland, Scandinavia, and elsewhere throughout Europe, seeking a new life in North America. On April 15, 1989, Hillsborough tragedy. The Hillsborough disaster occurred on 15 of April 1989 at the 1988-89 FA Cup semi-final match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest at Hillsborough Stadium, Sheffield, England. A crash resulted in the death of 96 people and injuries to 766 others. The incident has since been blamed primarily on the police for letting too many people enter the stadium. It remains the worst stadium-related disaster in British history and one of the world's worst football disasters. The Football Association, or FA, selected Hillsborough for the match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest. The ensuing influx of supporters caused crushing, and some fans climbed over side fences or were lifted by fellow supporters onto the stand above to escape the crash. Moments after kickoff, a crash barrier broke and fans began to fall on top of each other. The game was stopped after 6 minutes. Of the 96 people who died, only 14 had been admitted to a hospital.
All parties formally apologized, including British Prime Minister David Cameron, representing the British government, and recognized that victims of Hillsborough treated unfairly. We conclude with last event on April 15, 2002, Air China aircraft of Boeing 767-200 with flight number CA-129 crashed in Busan, South Korea. Boeing 767-200 Air China from Beijing fell down upon entering the mountainous region near Busan or Busan, South Korea's second largest city, in very bad weather. In the incident, 115 people were killed, 39 survived, and 13 people missing. The Boeing plane, carrying 167 passengers and crew, crashed into the slopes of Mount Sineo after turning 180 degrees in advance when we land at Gimhae International Airport, Busan.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Void Green, today entitled 9.86 million hectares of marine protected area in the Lesser Sunda has the protection stages. Listener, the Natuna Conservancy, or TNC, or non-profit organization engaged in the protection of natural resources to support the Indonesian government to create a network of marine protected areas which connected with marine conservation area in the Lesser Sunda ecoregions. This was conveyed in a workshop, Marine Conservation of Lesser Sunda Ecoregion, organized by the Society of Indonesian Environmental Journalists in cooperating with the Nature Conservancy on April 7th in Bali. To develop a network of marine areas is a strategy to increase ecosystem resilience toward climate change and reduce the stress caused by human threats. On the occasion, Marine Conservation Project Manager, TNC, Mirza Peju said, marine protected areas in the Lesser Sunda ecoregion is located in four provinces, namely Bali, Lombok, East Nusa Tenggara, and Maluku. However, some areas also included in Timor Leste region.
Nah, kalau kita lihat lagi peta ini, jadi ini tidak lagi kita tidak melihat lagi batas.
We are no longer see the border of province or state administrations because East Nusa Tenggara is located near Timor Leste. There are four provinces and two countries are covered in the Lesser Sunda from Bali to the southeast Maluku. The sea nearly 36 million hectares and has a long coastline of almost 11,000 kilometers. Mirza said the total area of marine protected network in the Lesser Sunda, which already have protection stages, that is 9.86 million hectares, or about 25% of the total area of Lesser Sunda ecoregion, reach 35.8 million hectares. The region consists of six stages, namely determination of regional marine conservation area in Bali, West Nusa Tenggara, and East Nusa Tenggara. Moreover, according to Mirza, in 2014, Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, has set the Sawu Marine National Park of 3.3 million hectares, covering 30% of shallow marine habitats in East Nusa Tenggara. Such determination is aimed to protect habitats and spaces in the deep sea.
Nah, ada yang kurang adalah
in the deep sea or in the archipelagic ecosystem, we still do not have shelters. Why is it important? Because there are mountains under the sea and it is impossible the people like us turn down only by using regular diving equipment. In the Lesser Sunda, there are many ecosystems are not well protected. Mirza also said there are some principles in making the design of marine protected area networks.
Kriteria pertama adalah kriteria biofisik.
Firstly, is a biophysical criteria with kind of consideration. So we have to know how we can disseminate the risk. If we have investment, it is better to put an act in different places, since we cannot disseminate the risk if we build a conservation area only in one place. When occurring tsunami, we still have safe place. Furthermore, TNC project manager Mirza Peju said, currently TNC has made cooperation with inter-sector parties such as tourism, fishery, oil and gas, as well as transportation sectors. Mirza added, the sea region has many interests from various sectors, so that it should be real spatial to accommodate all things well and to ensure the sustainable preservation factors. Listener, that was today's Voice Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kala insists that nuclear energy is a last resort for Indonesia, saying the country has alternative options more in line with the country's geologic and sociological condition for addressing the looming energy crisis. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) said on Tuesday that it would soon hold a case, reconstruction of the Bank Century case, to determine the fate of former Vice President Budiono and other former Bank Indonesian directors in the controversial Bank Century bailout in 2008. West Java police have urged the public to participate in securing a series of events during the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference in Bandung, West Java, and refrain from staging rallies, especially around the peak of the event on April 24, 2015. Indonesian military TNI will create an anti-terror task force comprising of special personnel from the Navy, Army and Air Force that will support the National Police in dealing with terrorism. Indonesia and Norway agreed to continue cooperation in reducing forest-based gas emissions on Tuesday, in spite of Jakarta's early decision to disband an energy task with the overseeing the implementation of the program. As the government is about to upgrade its poverty alleviation programs, the Social Affairs Minister will soon commence an ambitious data validation and verification project. The project, involving as many as 69,000 social workers, aims to clean up any irregularities in the current integrated poverty database, which is managed by the National Team for the Acceleration of Poverty Reduction, the NP2K, based on 2011 data from the Central Statistics Agency, BPS. A total of 16 Indonesian Pancasila athletes departed for Perak, Malaysia on Tuesday to participate in the Perak Open Pancasila Championship in preparation for the SEA Games scheduled to take place in Singapore in June. Indonesian government expressed deep condolence to the family of Siti Zainab Binti Duhri Rupa, an Indonesian citizen from Bangkalan, Madura, East Java, who has been sentenced to death in the city of Medina on Tuesday, April 14, 2015, at around 10 o'clock local time. Indonesian government also delivered a letter of protest to the government of Saudi Arabia that executed Siti Zainab Binti Duhri Rupa without prior ratification to the government of Indonesia and the families of the deceased. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Kupat Tahu Gempol, an Indonesian culinary. Stay tuned. Listener, for traditional Indonesian foods represents Indonesia in the World Street Food Congress 2015 in Bugis, Singapore. They are Gudeg Yunap and Kupat Tahu Gempol from Bandung, West Java, Ayam Taliwang from Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, and Soto Ambengan Pak Sadi from Surabaya, East Java. The four Indonesian legendary foods have history, which started from a small-scale business to become a popular culinary. This year, the four Indonesian foods are chosen to represent various Indonesian culinary to the World Street Food Congress 2015 to introduce the various archipelagic culinary to the international world. On World Street Food Congress 2015, the four Indonesian typical foods presented 100 portions ready to sell every day, starting from 8 until 12 April 2015. And every day, those foods were sold out, both by Singaporean, Indonesian, or other foreign buyers. Kupat Tahu Gempol, for example, was sold out in less than 3 hours since the opening of the event. It is because of its delicious taste which arouses the appetite. Kupat Tahu Gempol has been known in Bandung, West Java. Even this food has become culinary icon of Bandung City. Kupat Tahu is Indonesian traditional food consisting of ketupat made from rice, which is wrapped by plated coconut leaf, boiling bean sprouts, fried tofu, and also peanut seasoning. Kupat Tahu is aided with gendar crackers. Lontong, or boiled rice wrapped in banana leaf, can also be used to replace the ketupat. Kupat Tahu Gempol is different from other kupat tahu in general. The difference is on the seasoning and the tofu. Peanut seasoning of the Kupat Tahu Gempol has thick texture and red color. Sweet soy sauce adds the taste of the seasoning. The seasoning used peanut from Tuban, one of the regency in East Java. While fried tofu comes from Cibuntu. While fried tofu is from the Cibuntu, one of the regions in West Java which has been known for its good quality tofu. Cibuntu becomes the central tofu in Bandung, West Java. Listener, ketupat or lontong kupat tahu is chewy and smooth. Its tofu is savory. The food aroma of peanut seasoning arouses everyone's appetite. Kupat Tahu Gempol has existed since 1975. If you happen to visit Indonesia, don't forget to visit Bandung, the capital city of West Java, where you can taste the Kupat Tahu Gempol on Jalan Gempol Bandung, West Java from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, we meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you to vocabulary and expression in Indonesian language and its use in conversation. Today's topic is rencana liburan, or in English means vacation plan, so stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expression in Indonesian language which related to today's conversation. I will say every word or expression two times slowly and you can repeat after me. Rencana, rencana, which means plan. Liburan, liburan, which means vacation. Tahun ini, which means this year. Kemana, kemana, which means where. Tiongkok, Tiongkok, or China, which means China. Berapa hari, which means how many days. Lima hari, which means 5 days. Empat hari, which means 4 days. Kunjungi, kunjungi, which means to visit. Tembok besar, which means great wall. Pelabuhan, pelabuhan, which means port. Membeli, membeli, which means to buy. Sepatu, sepatu, which means shoes. Tas, tas, which means bag. Jam tangan, which means watch. Anak laki-laki, anak laki-laki, which means son. Selamat berlibur, which means happy holiday. Now we give you an example of a conversation between Lucy or A and Hannah or B. I will say every sentence 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Tahun ini kamu ada rencana liburan kemana? Tahun ini kamu ada rencana liburan kemana? Which means, where are you going to have your vacation this year? B. Saya merencanakan liburan ke Tiongkok dan Hong Kong. Saya merencanakan liburan ke Tiongkok dan Hong Kong, which means I'm planning to have a vacation in China and Hong Kong. A. Berapa hari kamu di Tiongkok dan di Hong Kong? Berapa hari kamu di Tiongkok dan di Hong Kong, which means how many days will you be in China and Hong Kong? B. Mungkin di Tiongkok 5 hari dan di Hong Kong 4 hari. Mungkin di Tiongkok 5 hari dan di Hong Kong 4 hari. Which means, maybe in China 5 days and in Hong Kong 4 days. A. Tempat apa saja yang akan kamu ingin kunjungi? Tempat apa saja yang akan kamu ingin kunjungi? Which means, what places do you want to visit? B. Saya ingin melihat tembok besar Cina, tarian tradisional Cina dan akrobatik Cina, which means I want to see the Chinese Great Wall, the Chinese traditional dance and the Chinese acrobatic. Di Hong Kong, saya ingin ke pelabuhan Macau dan berbelanja sepatu, tas dan jam tangan. Di Hong Kong, saya ingin ke pelabuhan Macau dan berbelanja sepatu, tas dan jam tangan, which means, in Hong Kong, I want to go to Macau Port and buy some shoes and watches. A. Dengan siapa kamu pergi? Dengan siapa kamu pergi? Which means, with whom are you going? B. Dengan anak laki-laki saya. Dengan anak laki-laki saya, which means with my son. A. Baiklah, selamat berlibur dan sampai jumpa. Baiklah, selamat berlibur dan sampai jumpa. Which means, okay, have a nice holiday and see you. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today we'll introduce you to Indonesian singer of Dutch descent named Rebecca. Now let's listen to her first song entitled Kata Hati from the same title album, Kata Hati. Enjoy the song.
Ketika pertengkaranmu memutuskan cintaku, namun kini ku rindu manis pahitnya hidup denganmu yang hilang dalam waktu. Bagaimana kembali dalam hatimu. Walaupun ku tahu cinta kita tak pernah bersatu, ku tak mau apa yang kau mau, kau tak mau apa yang ku mau. Dalam kata hatiku, ku tak mampu jauh dari.
We've just listened to the song entitled Kata Hati from Rebecca. Rebecca has original name Rebecca Sujati Raymond, has familiarly known after she released her premier album Kata Hati in 2007. Rebecca was born in Den Haag, Netherlands on February 21, 1985. She is the second child of three siblings from parents Robert Jan Lovis, or from the Dutch, and Rini Sujati from Magelang. Rebecca liked singing very much since childhood. Even to improve her talent, she got vocal courses and followed the music school in the Netherlands. The beginning of her career was initiated when she was in a holiday in Indonesia. During in Indonesia, her brother Romeo introduced her to 88 music. DJ Sumantri from 88 Music, who interested her voice, then invited Rebecca to join together in producing album. Rebecca's first album entitled Kata Hati consists of 10 songs which tell about women and love. The theme was dedicated by Rebecca in various genres of music such as R&B, jazz, pop and rock. The song Tanpamu in the album, which was produced by DJ Sumantri under the 88 Music label, became her top song. Before going to Indonesia, Rebecca finished her formal study at the University of The Hague, Management and Law, the Netherlands. Listener, let's listen to a song Tanpamu from Rebecca. Enjoy the song.
Semua yang telah kulakukan
In mid-2009, Rebecca released her second album, Rock and Soul. Rebecca also offered a different music, namely Rock and Soul. Her main single that has been marketed entitled Kau, which was especially dedicated to the late André Jilling, personnel of Bunglon Band, who died by a traffic accident. In addition to actively in the music industry, Rebecca often participated in the social activities. In 2010, Rebecca played an active role in a concert in the name of love, which was organized to help unavoidable sufferers of HIV/AIDS. Rebecca dedicated her acoustic guitar and a song with her beautiful voice. Listener, to conclude today's music corner, we'll take you to listen the coming two songs from Rock and Soul album entitled Kau Pergi and Saving the Rain. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Janji takkan pergi, kau tak menepati. Kamu harus pergi. Ku tak melupakanmu, selalu di hatiku. Ku merindu kamu. Kau pergi, aku tak bisa senyum, aku tak bisa jalan sendiri. Kau tak kembali, aku ingat candamu, mengingatmu tak bisa berhenti, tak berhenti.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Deadline. saving the pain you caused me. Your arms around me, feel your strength, and all I want is you beside me. I feel scared, so scared, yeah, so scared. I feel scared. Is this the way you love me? 'Cause I'm willing to say goodbye to you. You keep me on the deadline. I will survive.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.